This is Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and your questions, all about NPB. And now your hosts, Johnny Gibson and Jin Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of August 12th. I'm John Gibson, and with me early on a Sunday morning doing this again is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud?
Well, you know, they say good things happen more than once.
Yeah.
Well, nobody
Fine
says
they.
That. Nobody
yeah.
says that, but
Fine
I'll
they.
Say
it. Yeah, beat them up. Anyway, we are apologizing ahead of time here. We reported a wonderful show, and it was eaten by the computer. So we were going to have an abbreviated show, a retake. Hopefully both sides are recording and we get something out of this, or else we won't have a show this week, or we'll have to record it on Monday or something. Anyway, on the podcast this week as a guest, we've got Javi Guerra of Hanshin. We've got our Power Track segment. We've got top July performers, and we go rocking with Roki, and we'll just have to save the high heat for another time when we have some time. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
So I went to Tokyo Dome on July 15th. As I said before, went out there, had a really good weekend of getting three interviews over the 2 days that I went to Tokyo Dome. And pulled aside Javi Guerra, the reliever for the Tigers, and he actually saved the win that day for Hanshin. So it was awesome. I was able to bring the Wonder Twins. They actually saw me doing an interview on the field pregame, so that was a cool experience for them and for me as well. Guerra, again, a first-year guy. He has 20 holds. He has 11 saves, which that total is a lot more than I recall him having. This season, I don't remember getting that many, but his ERA is under 2. He has 39 outings so far. The last time I checked, he sat with me on the railing to the camera well, and he asked me questions. He was very engaging, and I was surprised how well he could speak English. And I keep saying that, and I shouldn't be saying that, because a lot of these Latin players, they have played in the States a little bit. And so they have. That's part of the adjustment, is learning the language and getting into the culture and all that. But I think he was thrilled to have an interview, because as a middle reliever, you don't really get that many interviews unless you blow a game or something. So he was happy to sit down and do the chat. So let's take a listen. All right. So I'm talking with Javi Guerra. You pitched for a lot of teams in the States. What was the role when you came to Hanshin? What was the role they wanted you to fill?
I think I would say kind of the same as in United States, just a regular reliever, maybe trying to get a ticket for the 8 or 7.
Right.
I have some saves at this time, but mostly my job, it's been the 8, you know. I feel very good about it.
Good. The Tigers fans, the Tigers media, put a lot of pressure on the players.
A little bit.
What's your experience with that?
I don't think about too much. They impressed me compared to the United States. But yeah, they are a little bit intense.
A little bit intense.
Yeah, but at the time, it's good. It's new for me. Experience, you know. But I don't think about it too much.
Good. Yeah, you can't think about it too much. Yeah. Now, what about your experience in the WBC pitching for Panama? How was that?
I think that was a long time ago. Until... This year it's been long for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was nice. It was nice to come to Taiwan and see the Chinese team. You know, see another players, another teams. Yeah,
it seems like a really, actually just a great tournament to participate in and be part of.
Yeah.
A lot of excitement.
Yes. Good thing was that we are in the WBC again, in the next one, so we have the ticket. So if I'm healthy, I would like to join the team again and see what happened.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
What about pitching at Koshien? The mound is a lot different from a lot of the mounds that you probably experienced. How is that?
Yeah. In the beginning, it was totally different, but I get used to it very quick. I don't know when, but I get used to it very quick.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind the mound right now. It's the same for everybody. That's my thought.
What about the infield? I had one pitcher tell me it's really different when you're pitching. Here you see green and then you see the dirt. It gives you some perception about the distance.
Yeah. What about? No, I'm totally fine. I am
used to pitching on dirt
fields. Yeah, I think the same. Yeah, it's totally different, but I don't see difference in my perspective.
All right, so the Giants and the Tigers have a big rivalry, but I think the Tigers have a rivalry with a lot of teams,
yeah.
But they talk about this rivalry. How much do you know about the Tigers and Giants rivalry?
Same. I hear about a lot of rivalry in the both teams, but I don't think about it too much. It's not in my head. It's not too much in my head that what team are we playing, so.
Okay, what about the standings? The standings are really close. Every day somebody loses, somebody wins, and first place changes.
Yeah, it impressed me too, also. The other day I was watching standing. I don't see numbers, but I was like, we are tied for second, I think. So we have already 3 months playing, and it's like we haven't done nothing. Yeah, it's the same. We are tied with everybody.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It's good. What is that word? It's good. Compete. Have that mind every day. One game could change everything.
The one game changing everything. Speaking of that, you guys had a wild finish about maybe 10 days ago.
Yeah.
Ninth inning, bases loaded, and a single, and the Bay Stars threw it away, and error scored. How did you see that game playing out like that?
It doesn't surprise me, really. It's baseball. Anything can happen. I know here in Japan, every game it's tight. It's close in the 8th, in the 9th. But what can I say? It's baseball. Like yesterday, we have a really crazy game in the 9th.
And 10th, yeah.
And 10th, yes. So it's fun to see sometimes, but it doesn't impress me at all.
What's the biggest challenge for you making the adjustments in the culture, you know, the food? Every place you go, the mound is a little bit different. And how's those adjustments?
Well, when I signed with this team, I almost didn't ask anything about the culture, food, apartment, transport. I didn't ask anything until I got here, really.
Uh-huh.
And I explored how I was going to live, transport to the stadium, practice. But I get used to it very quick, to different things. The changing of teams in United States helped me a lot in that.
All right, maybe one or two more.
Yeah.
How about the coaching and the pitching? You have a battery coach, you have a pitching coach. You have a lot of coaches out here. How's that relationship with you?
I think I would say they respect what I think or what I need to pitch. I like that when I got here. I think that gave me confidence. What can I say? It's like a new commitment, different with Tampa Bay, that Most of the pitches I throw, it was from the catcher, or I would say from the bench. Yeah, from the bench. But here it's totally me against the ball.
Good. All right, last question.
Yeah.
You throw to a lot of catchers in Hanshin. There's always, seems like every day there's a different catcher. How do you develop a relationship with those catchers?
I try to keep it simple with them. Don't try to put too much information. You know, my pitches are sinker, fastball, slider. That's it. So I don't put too much information to them. It's good to see them every day, trying with me. Yeah, sometimes I have to call the catcher to the mound and maybe get a pitch without signs, or maybe there's men in second. I want to make sure. I don't think they told me they don't pass sign here, but because my sign are 1 and 3, so things like that. But it doesn't. It's not very complicated with me. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the way.
All right, Jim.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for doing that. And it was quite a pleasure. I guess my big takeaways were, one, that you could take Javi Guerra, drop him on Mars, and he'd say, okay, no water, no food, no air, no problem.
We'll make this happen.
Mr. Adaptable. You know, you use the word, you got to adapt, and which I thought was not, there was no irony in that, because all he did is say for the entire interview is, I just adapt. So that was really fun. And the other thing is, I think, I guess my response to his, or my thought when he said how the coaches respected what he does. And it seemed like he was surprised by that. He wasn't surprised by anything but that. And there was a story about, you know, the old story about, I guess it was an archetype of Japanese coaches telling everybody, you know, telling players which, you know, how to put on their underwear, pretty much. You know, you didn't do anything unless the coaches told you to do it. And that has changed. That dynamic is approaching the player first idea that MLB has embraced and the U.S. minor leagues have embraced over the last 30 years and have developed. So, So that was good. I enjoyed that part.
I think, yeah, he comes across as very mature. He turns 29 next month, but he does sound like a grizzled veteran. I think that's a result of a whole lot of baseball. You know, he has been a plus addition to the roster for Hanshin for sure this year. And I think you get a good idea of why.
Okay, and this is where we interrupt regularly scheduled podcasting to let you know that our technical difficulties interrupted or chewed up a second time our podcast. Jim had to go to work. I also have to go to work. So I'll just try to give a quick review and glance over of everything that we talked about. We recorded 2 shows, everyone. I apologize. We just ran out of time to have a redo here, and Jim's working way too late into the night for us to do the usual, so I'll try to make up for him. Hopefully you've got most of his comments there about the Javi Guerra discussion. For me, I just thought about how mature Javi comes across. I don't think the fans are on his mind that much when he's in a game situation, but the quote, "They are a little bit intense," I think, and that's media included. I think that really gives you an idea of how what the fan factor is and what the media factor is for these athletes. And I always say, you know, they really want to win. They're the ones really putting in hard work, and they really want to win more than anyone else. And it's very competitive, and I think you get an idea of that. And again, I'm always impressed by these Latin players who come in and they speak
so well in English, and I really didn't know how well he was going to be able to reply to my questions. I prepared a bunch of questions, but he did an absolutely fantastic job. And, you know, the intensity Jim talked about in the first podcast, he talked about how some of the Hanshin fans, they have been on X. There have been posts from teams about heckling players and asking fans not to heckle the players. And Jim talked about the fact that maybe the authorities were going to be called in if some of it continued. Now, it wasn't necessarily Hanshin fan. It was, I think he said Lotte posted something similar about that online or on X earlier this season. So that's how intense things can be. I think we all have to remember it's just a game. We all want our teams to win. We invest a lot of time in it as well. We don't train, but investing any kind of time, you want to see good results, and it just doesn't happen. But you know, that's the way it goes. There always is a loser to go along with the winner, so sometimes it ends up being your team. But and one other thing that impressed me also about Javi was the fact that he's basically calling his own pitches. He said he has three pitches and keeps everything simple, and that's kind of the way it is. And I thought that was pretty, it was something new that I hadn't heard, because I had heard from other pitchers before about, you know, getting pitches called from the bench or getting the catcher or listening to the catcher. But I'd not really heard a foreign pitcher talk about the fact that he was basically on his own out there. Now, that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. It's just that we haven't heard it before, or I had not heard that before. So that was an impressive thing about the interview. And again, it was a really fun chat. Got to do that at Tokyo Dome before, and a game in which afterward there was a old-timers game between Hanshin Stars and Giants fans, so that was fun. Although I didn't see any of those guys before the game. None of them, though. Warren Cromartie apparently was there. Alex Ramirez was apparently there. And some other famous Japanese, well-known Japanese players, Giants and Tigers. I didn't see any of those guys before the game. Not a one. Anyway, let's make a seamless transition and go to our power track segment. So we had a little bit of difference, but I'll try to remember what Jim said since we went through this twice. I had, obviously, the image of July for me was that the Fighters had won a lot of games. They were hot. The Eagles had won a lot of games. And I did kind of have Hawks on the brain. But when I went to the numbers said the Giants and Tigers each won 14 games and that the Fighters and the Eagles won 12 games in July. But I have to say, I've enjoyed watching Nippon Ham games, and I'm putting that team in third purely because of the entertainment value that I see in the team. I love tuning into games and watching to see what happens next. They score runs. They pitch well. Chusei Manami throwing out guys on the bases is awesome. Or just intimidating guys back to the nearest bases is fun to watch because of his arm. So I like seeing that. It brings half tear and half joy to my heart to see former Chunichi Dragons catchers Yuya Gunji and Ariel Martinez hitting home runs for another team. That's really joyful for me. I really like watching that. But those guys have been pretty productive. So there's a lot to watch and a lot to enjoy when you sit down to watch that team play. And the Eagles have just, I don't know how they're doing it. They just seem to get just the right amount of whatever it is they need. You know, if it's a miracle run scoring inning, they get that. If they need guys to get out of trouble with runners on base, they get that. If they need, you know, Takahiro Norimoto as the stopper in the ninth, you know, I've seen better guys out there, but he gets the job done, and he has the stuff to do it. It seems to me that he shouldn't struggle as much as sometimes he has, but those things happen. He has been pitching in NPB and in the Pacific League for a long time, and a lot of people know his pitches. They know they faced him a lot, so you know it's harder and harder to get those guys out consistently. But he's doing a great job. So anyway, those are the three top teams that I had in my Power Tracks rankings. I think Jim had the Giants and Tigers, and I think he put the Hawks above both the Fighters and the Eagles. For me, the bottom three, I think we start with the Lions. For me, a fallback is always the Dragons because they're so bad. But they actually won 9 games in July. That wasn't really bad. And the Buffaloes were pretty bad in July, and they have suffered through a 10-game losing streak, which they finally broke on Saturday. But it's just like the Fighters offer entertainment value for me. I think it's the opposite for the Dragons and the fans of their opponents, because they have to be bored out of their skulls when they're watching the baseball stylings of the broken-winged Tatsunamis. I mean, it's just, it's torture. I mean, your team's not going to score. The Dragons aren't going to score. Even if the Dragons get a run, it's really hard to fathom that they're going to get more than one or two in a game. So there's always the opportunity for the opponents to come back. But it's frustrating when they shut you out, if the Dragons shut you out, or whatever it is. But it's really hard baseball to watch. It is just... It's a chore. You know, it's not sitting down to enjoy baseball for sure. And I always say enjoy your baseball after the show. That is hard to enjoy. Anyway, so that's my bottom three. I think Jim's was basically the same. I can't remember. It's been such a frustrating day with the technology and all those things, but I think it was the same three. No, actually, he did put the Yakult Swallows, now that I think about it. He put the Yakult Swallows. I think he did not have the Buffaloes in there, so it was Lions, Dragons, and Swallows for Jim. And I think part of that is his frustration as well, being a Swallows fan, just seeing those guys not be able to do it. Just like where the Eagles are able to get those outs and get those hits or get whatever it is that they need, the Swallows seem to be doing the opposite. They fail to get those outs. They fail to come through at the plate, and it's costing them game, or make the plays in the field as well. So very challenging. I think he had them there, and basically they're all the same. I mean, those are definitely among the teams that are going to finish out of the playoffs, and we're not going to be discussing them, maybe not even too much in September next month, but certainly not in October. So he's probably got that right. Let's make a one seam transition and talk about the top performers of July. So in the Central League, my image was that Tyler Austin was hands down the man of the month, but looking at the numbers, it was his teammate, Kate Asano, who was just fantastic. And on the mound, there was certainly no question. It was Hiroto Takahashi of the Dragons. He went 4-0. He's an easy pick, and he's got this incredible scoreless inning streak going. So his ERA is 0 in the month, 39 strikeouts in 32 innings, a whip of 0.59. And I give him extra super bonus points for winning games with the weakest offense in the history of the world. So he's got that. And there were some other pitchers who did well. I think Daichi Osada obviously gets honorable mention, and Hiroto Saiki of Hanshin also gets honorable mention. In the Pacific League, as far as batters, I guess there was one clear guy because he hit 405, and that's Akito Takabe of the Lotte Marines. Now, he just was not on my radar. I saw him here and there, and I know he had some standout performances, but I didn't think he hit 400, and he wasn't one of the first guys who came to mind. Hideto Asamura of the Eagles was a guy who came to mind, and he did really well this month too. He hit 343, or last month I should say, in July. He hit 343, had 12 RBIs, but Takabe had 11 RBIs. He had 30 hits. He was leading in a lot of categories. His OPS was 997, which, he's a scrawny little infielder type guy, you wouldn't think his OPS is that high. And then Neftali Soto, also of the Marines, who hit 308 in the month, drove in 23 runs. He had 3 doubles and 6 home runs, and he was hitting his home runs to right field, of course, but he pulled a couple, I think, that month as well, or last month as well. So he was up there for me. He's one of the guys I thought, oh yeah, maybe it was Soto because he had such a good month, and because we love him so much. We certainly have talked to him a lot through the years. Hopefully we can get another interview with him before the year is out. But yeah, I think Takabe's going to get it. I think Jim said he thinks it's either going to be Soto or Takabe. I say when you get to the 400 mark and you have 30 hits in a month, that you're probably going to get the award. So I'm thinking it's going to be him. on the mound, that was a tough choice. There were really no super standouts. Kohei Arihara of the SoftBank Hawks, a 1.50 ERA. He was 3-1. He struck out 26. That's pretty good. He had 30 innings pitched. He's probably the guy. He didn't star in any one particular area, but he's compiled enough numbers here and there to get through and probably be the guy. So I think he's going to be the guy on the mound. Let's go to our Rockin' with Roki segment, which we haven't been able to do since June, I believe, because he was either injured or forced out. I don't know what was going on. We've talked about that as well. But anyway, he was back on the mound on Thursday. He gets a victory 4-1 over the Lions. I have to be honest, with the Olympics going on, and Jim is covering more Olympic activity and more Olympic events than I am. I'm just trying to keep up with what's going on so that I can lay out my pages and write headlines, competent headlines, and that kind of thing. So you really have to pay attention and watch the news. And I completely spaced this game on Thursday. A 4-1 win for the Marines over the Lions. And Sasaki goes 5 innings, 3 hits allowed, 3 strikeouts, a walk. And yes, he did have to plunk another guy, so he's got that going for him. That ups that number. I'll check as I'm speaking here. But the Marines have owned, to say that they have owned the Lions this year is, would say that, to suggest that there's a pink slip involved. And I think they own them like they made them. 14-0 against the Lions this season. Now, something to look at in that 14-0, or something about that 14-0, keep in mind that against the Central League in interleague play, the Marines went 7-9-2. And as of this game on Thursday, they went 10 games over 500. They have a plus 14 against the Lions, and their 10 games over 500 suggests that they haven't been doing well against the league in regular play, and didn't do well against the Central League in interleague play. So they need to up that game a little bit if they're going to do well in the playoffs. But there's again another kind of surprising instance here for the team. But as for Sasaki, you know, to me, the Pro Yaku News guys talked about the fact that he wasn't able to locate that splitter or the forkball, and that his fastball was up, and they showed supporting video footage. You know, that's their show. They put it together. Now, like I said, I didn't get to see one pitch of this game, so I can't say if it was consistently that way. And I didn't get to see anything in the aftermath, but I just know that he, they did show him with his pitches up, and they showed him with the forkball just not being able to, not getting it in the zone consistently. So I'll believe what Pro Yaku News said. But I just looked at a guy who seemed like he was exhausted. Now, Kyota Fujiwara saved him a couple of instances at least. He made a catch in the outfield, and he also threw a runner out at the plate early on, so that really helped out. But it looks like Sasaki has 6 hit batters so far this season. He had a high of 7 in 2022. So next one will tie his career high. And but he's got the 6 wins. He's 6-2, and he can also surpass his career high in wins. That was 9 also in 2022. So he's on pace to set a couple of career marks, so that's good. He did look exhausted after 5 innings, and they got him out of there. He hadn't pitched on the top team in a long time, so that might have been part of it, and he hadn't pitched. You know, it's easier, I think, when you get used to the summer heat and you're introduced into it that way, but when you're suddenly thrown in against the top team batters and you have the summer heat, I think it's a little bit different. So that could be a challenge for him. It probably was a challenge for him. Anyway, so we apologize profusely for the technical difficulties that have cut the show basically in half. We also talked about the fact in one of our notes that Koshien Stadium was celebrated this past week for turning 100 years old this year. And Jim gave his first memory, and It was sweet. Maybe we'll do it in the next show. And in the next show, we'll probably just focus. I won't plan anything unless something crazy happens. And we'll get to this Koshien celebration, and we will address your high heat questions that you sent in. And I didn't tell Glenn in Tokyo, our buddy, but I did tell Tony in Busan and Nils that they were on deck, and you guys will remain on deck, and we will try to not plan anything and address your email next week and fix whatever technical difficulties led our podcast twice, a regular show and then somewhat abbreviated show and then turning into a mostly solo show here. But I did want to put something out. We don't have any advertisers. I don't know if that's fortunate or unfortunate, but our obligation is to you guys who listen and who send in messages each week and tell us how much you enjoy the show and how much you like hearing us speak about Japanese baseball. So we did it for you. I did it for you, but it certainly wasn't what we had planned. We will try to fix, address, rectify all those appropriate verbiage in terms of getting everything so that it's back online and working fine for next week. Hit us up with questions if you have any at jbwpodcast@x.com with the hashtag high heat. Send questions by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Go to our Facebook page, leave us a message there. Look for us on iTunes and other platforms. We will talk to you next week. Please enjoy your baseball, and Jim will see you at the ballparks.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBWPodcast and at JBallAllen. Submit your questions with hashtag HighHeat and listen for an answer in an upcoming episode.